Hey everyone, welcome to Sped Homeschool Conversations. We are so happy to have you here tonight. We are starting a new topic. It's March, and we are focusing on teaching tips and hints, which is a very broad topic, but we're hoping that what we are bringing you this month through our broadcast will be beneficial in helping you to teach your struggling learner. So tonight, we are gonna talk about assessments, and we have an assessment expert here with us, and her name is Tasha Douglas. Welcome, Tasha.
Thank you for having me. Glad to be here.
You are welcome. We are glad to have you because I think a lot of times our parents, some of them have come out of the public schools and have assessments that the school has given them and they keep them in a file and they don't know what the assessments mean. And then some of them wonder if they've homeschooled their child for a long time. Is it worth me getting an assessment? And what is it going to tell me? And which assessment do I need? So hopefully some of those things we can clear up and answer questions. So we want you to be part of the conversation because this is interactive. We're live, so why not? So thanks for joining us live on this. And we also want to thank Bookshark, who's our sponsor. We'll be hearing from them about halfway through our interview tonight, but they've paid for this episode so you can watch it. And so thank you, Bookshark. And so Tasha, as we get started, I would love for you to introduce yourself to our audience and let them know just a little bit about who you are, what you do, and your passion behind doing it. So we may have a break in the feed, but I also want to bring up Tasha's website. Here it's so, yeah, and there's your website. It's topassessmenttx.com.
That's correct, yes.
Yeah. So can you tell us a bit about yourself and your company and what you do and just why you're so passionate about this?
definitely. Well, first of all, I have a master's in education for a diagnostician. But prior to that, in order to be a diagnostician, you have to have teaching experience, which is a good asset.
Yes, definitely.
For kids, you want to make sure you know what it's like to be in a classroom as a teacher. That's very important.
Yeah.
So I taught for 16 years. And then after getting my master's degree, I decided to get more management skills. Mm-hmm. So I decided to go to the principal certification program.
Wow.
Did that just for the experience. Didn't have a desire to be a principal at that time, but I thought it was beneficial for that administrative management type role. I wanted to have what
right.
So moving forward, basically, my passion for the business itself was being in the classroom as a teacher. When the No Child Left Behind law came in effect, and we didn't have to separate the kiddos, right?
Right.
I thought it was a big contribution to making every child feel like they were special and that they were a part of their peers in the classroom. So I just had a passion to go forth and do more for kids who learn differently.
Yeah.
And that was what drove me to become a diagnostician initially. And then after being a diagnostician for several years, about 7 to 8 years, I decided to be more effective where I can have more of put my personal passion into an assessment consulting business where I have more flexibility to reach the child's needs. So
right.
The umbrella, I still want to be a dyke. I'm still on the ground, still working, still in the field. You know, you're still a part of them in that manner, but I wanted to have my own support system.
Right.
And so my passion is that I believe every child can learn.
They can.
They just learn differently.
They do, exactly.
You know, and as is, you know, you learn very quickly on that you have to differentiate learning anyway. So you shouldn't be
exactly
working from one mold of a lesson plan.
So true.
You know?
Yeah.
So yeah. That was where, top assessment consulting allows me to use specific testing tools. That's directed towards each child. So I look at the child's needs and I pick a testing equipment that fits their needs, because every instrument is not for every student.
Right.
So it's not one mold. It's, you know, it's on different variations that they're having struggling with speech. You know, you want to make sure that the instrument is not language heavy. You know, you want to make sure because right. they're not going to do so well.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to look at different variations. And I'm very specific and passionate about making sure it's the right tool for that child.
And I want to point out, too, is, and I don't think a lot of our parents understand this because they always say, well, what diagnostician can I connect with online?
Right.
This is not something you can do online. Can you explain that just a little bit?
Yeah, this is not online. You have to be able to know the background. And one of the things that I specialize in is being thorough.
Mm-hmm.
And, when I was in the school district, it was implemented to me that, you know, that you were a thorough assessment. And I realized that thorough means that you're exhausting all options, you know, because as diagnosticians, you want to look at multiple sources of data.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to base it on just scores alone. There's a...
Right.
You know, background, parent information, teacher information, you know, previous information from the time they're entering into the public school system or private school or school, homeschool, what have
mm-hmm.
you. You want to look at everything, and we should be doing that anyway, multiple sources of data. So you want
right.
to make sure it's a thorough, yeah.
And that's why keeping records is so important, and past tests and past work and all of those things. It helps so much with those assessments and you know, just like you said, you can benefit, your child can benefit by that work.
Right.
If you work with a good diagnostician, definitely.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Very much so. Very much so.
Yeah. So let's dive in, and I want our viewers to know, you know, this is interactive, so bring your questions and comments. I see we have some viewers on with us right now, but we would love for you to just join in that conversation. So I'm going to bring up your slides. Is that
okay?
Wonderful. Good, and then we will we can go through that. There we go.
All right. Awesome. Awesome. Well, these are strategies for struggling learners. And typically, when you're a parent or a teacher, whether you're at home or school, these tools can be used in both assets because you want to make sure you're implementing what's at school and at home anyway. You want to make
right.
sure that consistency is very important,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
So I want to make sure I implement that. This is for parents and teachers.
Mm-hmm. And most of our parents are teachers, so they just
awesome.
Do it both.
Awesome. That works great.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So we can go ahead and go to the first slide.
Okay. Here we go.
So I like to lose the theme, slow and steady wins every time. Everybody remember the horse and the hare and the tortoise?
Boom. Yes, exactly.
I thought it was real cute to implement how every student, you know, learns differently or at a different pace.
Mm-hmm.
And we always want to make sure we help and motivate all students, our average students, our gifted students, and our struggling learners. We want all of them to finish strong.
Yes.
Right? So it's just
so
to
true.
Finish the race. It doesn't matter the pace, just as long as
mm-hmm.
you finish the race. And so I thought that was a cute introduction for that.
Yeah,
so,
definitely.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Next slide. All right.
So educating the information about what is a slow learner or a struggling learner. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So I would like to use that more in you. The definition is a formal definition, but it's basically saying that a child who just struggles with their learning. Every child learns at a different pace. So I want parents
right.
to know that they have the ability to learn. You know, they have the ability to
yes.
learn.
Yes.
So it's just
that's
the rate
good point out.
And the depth is just a little different than their peers. You know,
mm-hmm.
so that's where we come in as an assessment a specialist.
Right. Yeah, because you know that, but you also know you can tell if they're, you know, if they're actually learning or if they're
right.
at a block and there's something
right.
there.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Very true. So I always like to give a, you know, a definition to kind of explain that in more detail.
Yeah, that's yeah. important.
Wonderful. Yes, ma'am. So, okay.
All right.
All right, we can go to the next slide. I always like to bring in the bell curve. It's a little technical. If you see the numbers. But
it's good to go through because I think we look at those and go, what does that mean?
Yes. What does that mean? How does that relate to me? You know?
Right.
And so I even use this in a meeting, like our participation meeting or our
mm-hmm.
meeting because I like the parents to have visuals. You
yes.
know, you're hearing all these numbers, you're getting all this information
mm-hmm.
at one time. It's a lot to intake in one meeting. You know,
definitely.
So I like to have visuals to go along to put them at ease and let them know what the ranges mean so they can follow along a lot better. So
right.
Basically, this is the bell curve. This is typically what we use as assessment staff. And it shows the ranges 55 to 70, typically 85 to 100 on most instruments is considered an average range. That's where you want your child to score typically, which means they maintain with their peers.
Right.
And so, but if they don't and they're 7 to 85, that's below average, which shows that there's some areas of concern we may need to look at. And then below 70 is where we start looking at some significant concerns of deficit areas. So just kind of give it. Then when you go to 115 and up, we're looking at higher ranges, high average, and 130 and up, possibly GT areas. And you can be GT in one area and have a weakness in the other.
Yes, thank you for pointing that out. That always throws us for a loop. And we're teaching kids because we think, oh, they're brilliant. And then they, why can't they do this?
Right. Because every child has strengths and weaknesses. Every child, even the brightest child, has areas of need. So I like to point that out.
Yes. Awesome. All right.
Here we go. So here is just a little bit of what you need to know. I kind of explained this already a little bit, but just kind of gave you a little bit bullet points. If you look at the ranges 70 to 85, so standard scores, they fall between two standard deviations, which means that if they fall between 70 to 85, they're seen in the 14% of the general population. And individuals with IQ scores in the range with tend to experience difficulties in school. So this is 14% of the general population of students will typically be in a classroom. So you're going to have those babies in the class, those kiddos in those classrooms, you know. So you can't get away from that. So how can we help the teachers differentiate the learning and help with those kids who may have those specific needs? Okay.
Right. And so, this is where general curriculum, we kind of have to, you know, either slow it down or supplement and, you know, all those other things that, because they're the special ones that need that extra help, and we have to be creative.
That's right. Very much so. And sometimes, you know, busy in time, and teachers are working hard, you know, parents are working hard, and it's not intentional.
Right.
It's just one of those things where you need that extra support, you know? Mm-hmm.
Definitely. Yeah. All right.
Okay. So here I thought three things teachers and parents need to remember about struggling learners. They are not non-learners. They can
so learn. True. Yes.
And one of the biggest things, you know, they want to learn.
Yeah.
They really do.
They really do. And you can just see when they you know, make those accomplishments that was something that they had been, it's just they get defeated.
Yes. And if you make a few adjustments in the learning process, it can make a huge difference.
Yes.
You know, you don't have to be a scholar or, you know, have this certain degree to be able to help a child or a student. You just need to know what their need is and adjust some things, recognize the need.
Right. You know? Yeah. We find parents that study their kids and really know their kids inside and out versus just putting curriculum in front of them and saying, why aren't you learning it? Succeed much more. Definitely.
Right. Very much so. Yep. Yes.
All right. Ready for the next slide?
Yes. I am.
Okay.
Okay, so 8 learning styles, you know, to consider when differentiating lessons. So you have the linguistic learner who learns through linguistic skills like reading, writing, listening, or speaking. That's pretty typical. Yeah. Naturalist learns by working with experiencing nature, you know, so like explore, like our scientists. Okay.
Yeah.
Music or rhythm learner learns with melody. I know as kindergarten, you know, I taught pre-K for like 7 years, and I had to use rhythm, you know, music. To get them to learn certain skills.
And there are some high schoolers that still need that.
They love it.
They
love being read to, you know. They still have that desire. So we just don't want to get away from that thinking they're older, they don't have that need. So it's just
that's a very good point.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So the kinesthetic learner is a person that learns based by actually doing something, using their body parts and hands. I remember being you know, using your feet and using your fingers and, you know, being mobile. So, you know, learn a skill using your body. They have certain things, apps online where you can use, you can learn through movement, you know, that's another form of learning. So then a visual spatial learner is a person who learns best if they are visual aids. That's one of my typical, when I evaluate visual processing, typically is a strength. for the most part, for most kids. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Especially my boys. I know my boys, they always do well in their fluid reasoning and their visual processing. That's usually their strengths for the most part. But visually, you always want to incorporate some type of visual.
Yeah.
You know, it just, it really just helps.
They can lock that information in with that visual and it just stays together. Yeah.
Yes, very much so. So the logical and mathematical learner must classify or categorize things, like they have things in order. You know, use charts, you know.
Yeah.
Don't get away from charts. There's, you know, we kind of got away from, because we got technology now.
Right. You know? But that does not help.
Can't reinvent math, you know. So math is math. Math doesn't change. Now, the tools we use, you know, have changed. But, you know, get back to categorizing, doing hands-on things and, you know, pen and paper and making charts and showing diagrams and the Venn diagram, you know, those things that they're important, you know, they're important. So, because we may have that learner.
Right.
The interpersonal learner is someone who learns by relating to others. So relating real life, bring real life into the equation.
Right.
You know, bring life, things that they learn out in the world, out in things that they should be typically at their age, what they should be familiar with. You want to incorporate that as much as possible in their lesson.
Right.
And the interpersonal, as opposed to interpersonal learner, is someone who works and learns best when they are alone. And you do have those, you know, those type of learners. Know that learner, because they may shut down with a group.
Right.
You know, and you think, oh, well, they don't know. They don't know how to socialize. They don't. That's just their personality, their character. So you may need more one-on-one. You know, more one-on-one. That's where one-on-one, and we get, sometimes we get away from that as teachers because we feel like we don't have the time, or, you know, we're rushing, we're trying to meet this certain deadline or what have you, or even a parent working at home, they're playing many roles, you know, and it's a lot of things that they're still responsible for.
But that's the child that gets up and leaves their math work once you get up and leave the table.
Yes, yes, very true, very true. So I just thought it was important to remember that every child has different learning styles as well.
Yes, yeah, and those are great to point out, because I think we know maybe a couple of those that we talk about, but there are so many more. And also the point that you made about continuing them as they get older. I think a lot of times curriculum incorporates these things in the younger years and then just leaves it to, you know, reading, writing, and listening, and that's it for the high school years, where a lot of kids that struggle, this is what they need all through their learning.
Yes, very true.
All right,
six things struggling leaders want teachers and or parents to know. So this is that I like to put in the form of, this is the child speaking to you.
Yes, I love this list.
They're like, we need more time to figure things out. So be patient.
Yes.
You know, slow it down. You know, we need time to think and make sense of learning. You know, give a few minutes to process. You know, so give more time to practice problems in a particular area. Sometimes you have to go in a different area. You know, placement, seating. Now, if they're at home, what area is most comfortable? You know, they may need
Or what area is most distracting at home? I tutor a young man in algebra, and whenever the cat comes in or the dog, it's like everything's out the window. So I have to like keep them somewhere else.
Very true. That's probably the bigger question. Where is the most distraction?
Right.
Very true. Very true. Speed drills make us anxious, but they make it possible for us to participate. So I remember a while ago we should do those math. Remember those math speed drills things?
Oh, like yes, that? The time tables and
right. How they used to learn. So basically, you're learning what you know. What their strength and weakness is. So if that is a concern for them, then try a different angle. You know, just teach them how to participate, be able to be involved, you know, and be able to be in a type of group setting, or if it's a paired setting, you know, see how they can work with others, because they learn, kids learn from each other. They may get
something
from parent or teacher.
Yeah, because when you teach something to someone else, boy, you have to know it and you have to articulate it, and there's so much more involved in that, definitely.
Yes, very true, very true. More time is needed for reading comprehension than is allowed for in the curriculum. So the curriculum gives you, but you know, in actuality, it's you need a lot more time. Reading, and reading is in hitting every genre, hitting every area, science, social studies, math,
right? Yes.
Word problems. Basic reading skills. I have a lot of kids. Sometimes they are strong in basic reading skills, so they have a foundation, but the reading comprehension is a struggle. You know,
the reading those pictures going in their heads where they're putting all those words and together and making the story out of it.
Yes,
that's hard for some kids, definitely.
Yeah, so they need more time for that. Showing patience, as I was saying before, and one of my biggest, I love this one, keep them motivated to learn.
Yes.
You have the brightest kid, and they're not motivated.
Right. Yes. Yeah. Yes. My oldest struggled to read, and he struggled to read, and I just kept giving him audiobooks, and we kept working on, you know, just phonics and memorizing words, and all of a sudden it clicked, and I was so glad I didn't discourage him, because that would have slowed us. I would have stopped the whole process. But you know, you just do a little bit, like you said, slow and steady. And you won't discourage them. You just keep believing in them and saying, you can do this. And we'll be there with you through this. Yeah.
Keep encouraging them, because one of the things we all, most assessment staff specialists will put as a recommendation, give them praise.
Give them
encouragement. We always include, give them encouragement. It's important. You know, they have to feel like they can do it. Even on our, when we do classroom observations, one of the questions on there, can they respond to praise? How do they respond to encouragement?
Oh, yes. Yeah, because they can get to the point where they're not believing it anymore.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. So we ask those questions. So it's important to pay attention to. Yeah. Break down lessons into short increments, like a short spelling list. So that basically.
Right.
You know, start them out small. You can gradually increase as they develop. But make the lessons in shorter increments. Give them a time to build, and that builds their confidence.
You don't have to do it at the pace the curriculum's written for that child. And sometimes it takes more than a year to do a year worth of work, and that's okay.
Right, it's a process.
Definitely. All right, are we ready for the next slide?
Yes, we are.
Okay.
All right, so this one is we need more explanation and direct instruction. So just be sure that instructions and expectations are given clearly.
Yeah.
And I even think the instructions should be given maybe one or two. You know, don't get five or six, you know. Give one or two, you know, and see how they respond. You know, and if that's not a weakness for that child, of course, give them more. But start out with instructions. You know, it can be overwhelming to give five or six instructions at one time.
Right. That's a very good point.
Yes. So define the terms, you know, read, circle, count. I just gave you some examples of definition, examples of keywords that you want to look at and to define and give more explanation about. Typically, these can be for math or reading. You know, read, circle, count, find, define, copy, list, discuss, summarize. Just give more. Don't get away from. I know we got away from dictionaries because we have, you know.
Those devices
now, but my kids, I still make them pull out. They ask me, what's the meaning of a word? Because when you take tests, state tests, you have to learn how to look up words in a dictionary. They have the example on the example.
Yeah.
Like a verb or a noun or what have you. I'm not trying to make it get into tests, but you can't get away from written. They give you technology, but they're still providing you both, you know,
right?
And paper. So you got to get used to being able to locate a word in a book. locate the definition in a dictionary. It's just still a good tool to have, you know, as a backup. And it's just good for the kids when they get in college, or if they go to college, or they go to if they're not even a community college, what have you, a trade school, whatever.
Right.
They just need to learn some of those basic skills and know that You know, you don't have to have a computer or electronic device to be able to learn.
Right.
You can learn through picking up a tangible book. Mm-hmm. You know? So I think that's important.
Definitely. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Low tech.
Yes. So that's just some options to look at. Have them repeat the instructions, point to the area in the paper that you're explaining to, see it, say it, cover it. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that's important. Don't assume they know where to go. I have a lot of kids I observe after referrals made, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to classroom, I observe, and I notice that they're really good kids and they're focused. It seems like they're focused, mm-hmm. but you can tell they don't know what they're doing. Where do we start? Where do we begin? You know? And it's like the instructions, because they figure everyone should know. The teacher is trying to, you know, but sometimes you got to go to that one and say, hey, see it, say it, cover it. Okay, repeat it back to me to make sure you understand the instructions. That's good.
Right.
You know.
Yes. Yeah. That's a very good point. I like that.
Yeah.
We can assume so much. And that assumption becomes our greatest frustration.
Right.
Instead of just asking, and you know, it's not going to hurt. Just ask them to repeat it. Definitely.
Repeat it. You know, just that, very much so. Explain the material in creative ways and teach them to listen for keywords and explanations. So just some little key points. It's just good to not get away from.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the creative ways, and that's important, because sometimes the way that it's written is not going to go into their head. So you know them best as a parent teaching them.
Right.
And if your student relates to something different, then, you know, just throw in what you can.
Right. That's it. Right. So we need help in organizing our work. This is what the students are saying.
Hey,
organization. I put desk in there because it can be for a parent or teacher, and a priority. So provide a homework sheet or planner with a checklist. I sometimes make a recommendation, even in a classroom setting, I will have them make a picture chart and have three steps and put it on their desk. So that way they know the three steps they need to do from the most important, maybe for the beginning of the day or when it's time to dismiss.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so they just need a little bit more reminders, you know, or they have a buddy to help them. But just be mindful of that. Don't get away from just verbally saying it, but give them something visually, going back to the visual.
Right. Yeah. We know a lot of parents that have those in their house. They have, you know, visual checklists. And then, you know, you hope by the time they get to high school that you can put it in a planner and have them check it off.
Right.
But some kids will need those visual planners through high school.
And, right.
And
right.
be able to, you know, somewhat do it themselves, but know that they, it's a skill. It's a life skill. We know that we need it. Like, I have my planner. I don't function well without it.
I was just about to say that. I keep a planner all the time.
Right.
Without my planner, my checklist. So everybody needs that.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. It's a good life skill.
Yes, it is. Yes. So shorten the homework when necessary, and you can always increase it. You just want to see where you know, meet them where they are, but you want to elevate them, and you want to add, and you want to include. We just want to make sure that confidence is there, and we keep building on that. And when they conquer that, then you add a little bit more, you know. So we just want to make sure that confidence is there and they're not frustrated.
Right. You know? And it's, one thing that we always point out is there may be like 20 math problems to practice, but you don't need all to do all 20 to realize that they can do the problems well.
Very good point. Very good point. Show what an organized desk look like. So model, you know, and show what, you know, or at home, if you have whatever, you know, your setting, your study setting, your study area, just make sure you know what, you know, model what that looks like. Work closely with parents to check completed work. So that's when you're working hand in hand with, and like you said, most parents are teachers here.
Yeah.
So they know what that's like, working closely.
But a lot of our parents work with therapists, and they sometimes will hire a tutor. And so you know, keeping that communication open is really important for them. Because I know the young man that I teach algebra to, his mom always checks in. How did it go today? What do we need to do on our side? And what did he take home? And so, yeah, that's always important.
Yes, very, very good point. Very good point. All right.
Okay.
Okay, we need to know why we have to know.
Is that the question that's always asked? Why do I need to know this?
How is this going to help me in life? And why do I need
exactly.
to do this?
Exactly.
Well, we motivate with practical reasons to learn material. Mm-hmm. So you use everyday experiences and using, I always go back to relating a real life, you know, to right. the classroom. And that's what, mm-hmm. that's important, you know. And again, going back to setting short range goals and attainable goals, things they can actually.
Yes. So true.
That's very important. And going back to again, encouraging
yes.
words.
I love that you have that twice.
Yeah.
It's important. Very important.
It's very important. Even as adults working, we all, you know, yes. you always want to know that you're appreciated and your work is being beneficial,
yeah.
you know, and it's being noticed. So kids are the same. They want that. They may not tell you, but they need it.
Right. They say that that's even more important to people than earning money. They're, you know,
exactly.
is that they know they're making a difference and that they know that what yep. they're doing matters. So definitely.
Yep. Yes, yes, yes.
All right.
Right. Okay. So the next one is, we have difficulty focusing our attention on learning tasks.
Oh,
so
yes.
how you can help us. This is what the students are saying.
Mm-hmm.
How you can help us. Eliminate as many distractions as possible.
Mm.
You know, if you're in a classroom particularly, you sit us up in the front classroom. If not in the home, sit us in the area that's not so, you know, with not so many distractions.
Right.
Be punctual and prepare materials well before you be able to start your lesson. So
mm-hmm.
sometimes I know you get real busy and it's a lot of things going on and you
right.
know, you're going to have those days, you know, but at least you have a reference, and that's what I wanted to provide. You know,
yeah.
get your reference if mm-hmm. needed. Expect accuracy and neatness in work. So just, you know, encourage mm-hmm. them to do best, which I'm pretty sure most of our parents are doing. You know,
yeah.
these are just reference points. Stay as consistent as possible. And if you're in the classroom or not, classroom management and expectations still at home. Like I said, yeah. you wear many hats. You got many variables and, you know, remote things happen. But, you know, this is a checkpoint
right.
kind of just to remind you, kind of get back to those.
Well, and it helps our kids to stay more on task if we're on task and focused than if everything's kind of everywhere. And yes, you may have a lot of craziness going on in your house, especially if you're homeschooling five kids at the same time, which some
right.
people do. And
yes.
and yet, if your child at least knows there's some sort of predictable schedule, and this is where I can find the stuff that I need, and this is when I and how I can ask for help, those are extremely helpful because they are going to need help, you know, like you've said in the past. And if they know how to ask for that so that it's accessible, it makes it easier than just wondering, is somebody going to show up and help me? Or am I just
right.
left to flounder on my own?
Right, right. That's very true. I'm glad you thought that because I thought it was important.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay, so we sometimes have a hard time sitting still. Again,
yep.
be patient with us. We need an active recess. So sometimes breaks,
mm-hmm.
give them breaks. They need
yes.
stretching activities. You know, they even have things online where they call they're like brain breaks.
Yes.
You
yeah.
know, just take a break. You know,
mm-hmm.
you know, just give them a break. You know, I know you got to get this done. You got to get this done. You got to get this done. But those breaks will be so beneficial. It'll help them do a lot more and more efficient.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
It seems like it's going to be a waste of time. We've been sitting
right.
here, you're not doing anything, but that little break, if you can figure out a way to get them back,
right.
like some parents have used visual timers and there's ways to train your kids to do that.
Right.
But it, yeah, it helps their brain to function better. All of us
yes.
going to get burnt out
as adults.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Even as adults. So, at times, we need guidance with learning and practical social skills and parents with achieving students who are willing to help. So if you have, you know, you have different settings, you know what's best for your child. You know who works best with whom, it be a different sibling or, you know, you work
right.
better with your older sibling than mm-hmm. this sibling. So just recognizing who to pair them with that they really draw to, you know, they can
yes.
help in other areas, you know, so that connection.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, that's like when we did co-ops, you know, you'd always know that kid that was sympathetic right. to your child, or your child just connected with them, and it was yep. just a match made in heaven. And you definitely made sure that those two were together when you were doing field trips and other things, because they just got more out of it.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, I love yep. that.
Yes, yes, yes.
So true. Okay.
All right. Okay, so now we're up to teaching reading strategies for struggling learners. Some methods, this is not limited to these, but these are just a few. Going back to using some charts to teach words. I still love to use, I think it's important, memory flashcards. You know, just have those something tangible. Mm-hmm. We get away from, like I said, technology. You
mm-hmm.
know,
and the oh, thing just that tactile thing yes. that really does yes. make a difference.
It's important, you know, because as assessment, we're using testing tools, but we're using tactile mm-hmm. tools.
And again, that's why you need a diagnostician that's near you, that you go see.
Very true. Mm-hmm. So I think that's important not to get away from that. Reading with meaning is a good method with which a child can easily understand and remember it. So mm-hmm. I go back to choosing books of interest. Of their interest,
right?
You know, we just want them reading print. You know,
yeah.
so if they
yeah.
that's really it. The more print, the more repetition, the more yeah. the sticks, the more they're able to, you know, to comprehend. So we don't want to get away from that.
Yeah, definitely. So true. All right. It looks like your screen.
So the next one are reading stories, collecting magazines, newspapers, and discuss them in the classroom. I think it's important to use some basic things that they see out in the world,
yes.
real world things brought into the classroom.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it depends on the age group, of course,
right.
For some of those things, but just keeping in mind that you can use real life things that can be incorporated into the lesson.
Yeah.
You know, I just think it's important. We got away from that, you know,
mm-hmm.
you got your newspaper today. Hey, they got comics. They got different things, funny things. Just get them reading. Just
mm-hmm.
go to the library, pick up a book and let them find a book they're interested in. And it might be the
right.
same book they've been reading for weeks,
exactly.
you know, and they don't want to let it go. You're like, read a different book. But mom, I love this book.
Uh-huh.
You just want them excited about reading.
Yes.
You know, it's
yes.
an exciting, it's an enjoyable thing. You want to encourage them to love to read. And that's really what it's about.
Mm-hmm.
You can have the brightest kid. If they're not encouraged to read,
yeah.
it's not, you know, beneficial for them. They have to be encouraged and excited and enjoy reading. And you have a love for when you're excited about what you're reading.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. So. I still have a 20-year-old that reads comic books. They're big ones, but
yeah.
that's what he likes to read. So.
Awesome. He
but yes,
it.
He just, that's what they like to read. So definitely. And I know there's, I think I wrote an article a while ago on, it's like different learning levels that you can pick for current articles. There's websites
right.
out there. So if you want to look for relevant material that may be applicable to what your student would be interested in reading about with current events, you can find those resources at different reading levels, and that'll keep them interested as well as not over frustrated.
Right, right. That's a very good point. I'm glad you brought that up. Very good point. Very good point. Pictures on walls with stories can help them to remember and understand the word.
Yeah.
Visuals around them to remind them, you know, reinforcing with those pictures.
Yes.
Reading readiness workbooks and including reading organization charts, if needed,
yeah.
picture charts, you know. So you have the comprehension portion in Word, but you have the picture to explain. Sometimes just show them a picture book and tell me, what are they doing?
Mm-hmm.
Get them to tell you, get them to expound on, because one of the accommodations recommendations is they may struggle with reading comprehension when they have to read it, but if you read the story, they can comprehend well, so they don't really have a problem reading comprehension. It's just the you understand, it's just the way it's
right
presented.
They're getting so backlogged in the semantics of reading that
right.
they are translating it into a picture in their head because they're so stuck on the words.
Exactly.
Definitely.
Exactly. So that you know, we'll always keep those visuals.
Yeah.
So,
and those, that's where audiobooks are wonderful too.
Yes.
You don't get so tired reading.
The kids love it. They love putting those headphones on. They love
Oh yes.
It.
Yeah.
All right, so here we have a few more visual activities again. Mm-hmm. Memory games, those are good and fun.
Yes.
Reading for information, computer games for teacher reading process, and interactive games not only help them in their reading lessons, but it also helps to increase their quick decision-making ability, you know? So we kind of break up when you're interacting, you know?
Right.
So when you're having a little bit more dialogue, like I said, you know, partner up with a sibling or mm-hmm. just making it fun.
Right, yeah, the back and forth and the unexpected variables that come in, which, you know, unfortunately there's, when you get too programmed in a game, like online, or the kids know
right.
what's coming next. And
exactly.
throw that human variable in, it's unpredictable.
It's unpredictable.
Like real life.
Exactly. And that's what you want.
Mm-hmm. That's what definitely. You want. Yeah. All right.
So here we have reading material to consider for struggling learners. And I always go back to reading material should be selected with regard to the interest of the student in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now you're going to have certain things they have to, you know.
Right. Eventually.
Initially. We
right.
have to get to that point.
Mm-hmm.
But we want to spark. We want to
yeah.
spark the interest, you know. And that's what we want to make sure we keep that in mind. Choose difficult level beginning with easy to difficult approach. So age-wise, you want to build confidence.
Yes.
So look at the age appropriateness and, mm-hmm. you know, you always want to, you know, increase the challenge, but you want to start out meeting them where they are so you can build the confidence.
Yes, because okay. that confidence, like we talked about before, matters
yeah.
a lot.
Matters mm-hmm. a lot.
Yeah.
All right, so when we're talking about math, mm-hmm. I'm gonna kind of briefly go through these. They need more time to understand and figure out how to use basic concepts.
Mm-hmm.
They may require more thorough revision and review for basic concepts to make sense. So basically, this is about time. Just
mm-hmm.
give them more time. Require
yes.
more time to perform in math computations, which is basically math calculation. So
mm-hmm.
those basic facts with practicing or testing. And pressuring a child to perform at a time standard beyond his abilities will only reduce his confidence and make
yes.
learning more difficult. So you're thinking, oh, well, we didn't get much done and we were here doing this for an hour, but you have to think about how effective was it within that time frame.
Right.
How
exactly.
effective.
Did you get
a whole bunch, a lot done in 1 hour, but how effective was it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, was it rushed? You know, was it, you know, did you take your time? Did you bring the visuals in?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so how much, how effective was it? So you want
right.
to make sure
because you could walk away from that lesson and come back the next time and they couldn't remember anything. And that was not an effective hour, even if they got all the problems right.
Right.
Oh, unfortunately, that happens. And that's anxiety level. When we do rush,
right.
that anxiousness goes up and then everything just kind of goes in and out.
Right. Very true. Yeah. Very good point.
All right.
Okay. So we're here on the concept building. They have difficulty with new concepts. So wherever possible, new concepts should be related to previously learned ones. So bringing
mm-hmm.
back reviewing what was learned previously and connecting that.
Yeah.
You know,
mm-hmm.
connecting and making that connection. That's important. Because
it's
we get away from the classroom.
Yes.
That's something we just go on to the next thing.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't tie in, you know, what was previously learned to make that connection.
Right. And that's a good thing to point out when looking at curriculum too, because sometimes curriculum is written not very well where it doesn't build on the previous concept. And so if you have a good curriculum, it will build on those and bring those concepts back in. And it makes it easier for your student, especially if they do struggle with math like this.
Very much so.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very true. So the connection with the previous concept helps to build confidence in the subject and provides a framework upon which to build mastery of new skills. So then
yeah.
you can build up and you can enhance
mm-hmm.
a new skill.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we want to do that. Yeah.
We don't want learning gaps.
No. There's time wasted.
Yes.
It could be. So again, going back to the real world examples with math, using your fingers, you when performing calculations at an age that's appropriate. We know
mm-hmm.
in older age groups, but we're talking about, I'm looking at all variations of ages. Teaching a new skill, addition, multiplication is made easier when the instructor gives real world examples or allows for physical representations of the math problem. You know, math problems itself, you know, making charts, doing visuals, showing, drawing it out. Don't get away from it. You know, we get, like I said, technology. We've gotten away from actually using paper and pencil to figure it out, you know, and you know, whatever you need to do. You can, I always say, go look in your pantry.
Mm-hmm.
Pull out, you know, I, when I was growing up, I remember using beans and different macaroni noodles.
Oh,
and,
yeah, exactly. You know, it's
anything tangible you can find to make groups. You can even make groups for multiplication.
Yeah.
You know, kids get so excited because they're using food and they always get flavored food.
Right.
So, of course, my high schoolers, you know, you might have a different approach, but I'm just looking at all age groups, whatever works.
Right. You know. And for word problems, just drawing what you hear and getting it on the page can translate that so much better than if you're just trying to pull all that picture together in your head. Because it, you can read it and go, what did that mean? And if you write it down, it's like, okay, they said to draw this, and then that was this much bigger, and oh, I see it now.
Right.
And oftentimes those math problems are written in a way that if you follow it through step by step, you actually will create the proper image.
So. Right. And you'll get it. It'll like you'll have an epiphany, and you're just like, wow, I get it.
Yeah.
Even on assessment, as assessment specialists, we evaluate an area math where it's math concepts and applications, and they even ask you for scratch paper, and you can use paper, and they want you to draw it out, and you have to keep that as a tool, as a part of the assessment, because they want to know, can you be able to work out this problem on paper? That's actually part of one of the tests.
Yeah.
So it's important. So we look at that. We look at, hey, they might not have got the answer right, but they might have missed it by a mark. We know they understand the concept. They just missed the calculation, but they understand how to get the answer. They just missed a step. So you get to see, oh, wow, they really got the foundation. They just need a little bit more support in this area.
Right.
You know, so it tells you a lot. It really tells you a lot.
Yeah, I never even thought about that. That's, definitely. There's so many components, and it's nice that you're trained to figure those out, because as a parent, we look at it and go, what's going on?
Yes. So here we have the review, because they need more time to absorb new concepts. Frequent reviewing can be helpful. More frequent exposure to new concept and shorter blocks of time. So give it 5 or 10 minutes to review the lesson. Don't make it a 30, 45 minute review.
Right. Exactly. You know? You're not redoing the lesson.
Yeah, you don't want to reinvent the lesson, and it's like, oh, they're going to shut down.
Definitely.
Hit the highlight points, and you know, 5 or 10 minutes, do a little review, and move on. You know, then you can go back the next day, and you know, revisit and start reviewing again. But that end of the review is kind of important to, but make it short.
Yeah, definitely.
Make it short.
All right.
All right, so rewards, it's always important. However that is, every you know, parent and or teacher have their different formats for that. But just don't forget about it. We don't want to base it up on a reward. Like, you know, if you do this, you get this. But just let them know their hard work, their performance. It can be a encouraging word. It can be however, whatever meets the need of that, that child or student. But just know that they are learning more. They're struggling a little bit more than others, and they may be going through different things. They may have low self-confidence, and so providing some type of reward, we include that as a recommendation. And it could be like being a helper, you know, hey, you get the help doing this, you get the help. So we're not talking about treats and candy and all those things. We're just talking about something they enjoy doing. They like being the leader, or whatever the case, but in the home, something they love doing, helping prepare mom to do whatever, you know, something special. Just, you know, just give them some incentive just to know that, hey, you know, your hard work is not unnoticed. You know?
Right. Definitely.
So I just think that's important.
Yeah. Oops. Wrong mouse.
All right.
So, So I'm going to take a break because I completely forgot to do our ad in the middle. And so we're going to wrap up with Tasha after we hear from Bookshark. And so I'll let her take a break and take a breath for just a minute here. And so and then we'll come back and we're going to wrap things up. So I'm going to do this and I'll see you in just a minute. But we do want to thank Bookshark for sponsoring this episode, and I definitely want you to check out their resources. But Bookshark is a curriculum that's literature-based. It's a four-day faith-neutral curriculum. You can see them at bookshark.com, which you see up on the screen there. But Kim McNary, a busy homeschool mom, says, "My daughter is on the spectrum as well as his OCD and has instantly taken to this curriculum. It's incredibly structured, which makes us both ecstatic," which you just heard from Tasha, that's important. "The books are great. The kids are awesome, too. I'm running my daughter to all kinds of appointments, and the curriculum fits in amazingly. We are our first-year Bookshark customers and happy as a lark." So Kim is right. Bookshark is a fully planned four-day homeschool curriculum that flexes to match your busy lifestyle. They have a detailed instructor's guide that lays everything out clearly so that you're prepared to teach in just mere minutes, which is also important because your student needs you to be prepared. So you can gather your resources and you can go. Curriculum is written for ages 4 to 16 and available all subject packages or by individual academic areas. Reading with history, language, arts, science, and math. With Bookshark literature-rich programs, your child will read you can read to them 35 to 50 books a year. That's incredible. So visit them at bookshark.com and you can browse their catalog, download samples, or request a catalog. So thank you, Bookshark, and we'll bring Tasha back and we're going to wrap up this conversation, and she has so much to share with us. It's been exciting. So I'm going to add her back to the stream here, and as well as your slide. And this has been such good information. And so we're going to wrap up just with some encouragement, right?
Yes. I kind of wanted to just wrap up at the end to let them know the value of special education testing, what it provides. It shows you strengths and weaknesses. And so we're getting a IQ and a cognitive score. You get to see where their strengths are, because they do have some, and where their weaknesses are. Mm-hmm. And so with that, we can do an achievement, and then we can develop something for them in the classroom, or we can develop them something for at home.
Right. More homeschoolers now are writing IEPs. It's just because it's something that their doctor asks for, therapists, when they go to take, the SAT or ACT, and they want accommodations. They need that type of paperwork. And so working with a diagnostician like Tasha, you can help them even set goals, can't you?
Most definitely. Mm-hmm. I always point out, you leave there, even if they don't, just say they didn't meet eligibility or they did or didn't, you still make recommendations because you have strengths and weaknesses that need to be met. So you always have recommendations and accommodations for those kids, designed for them. So it'd be specifically designed for a special education student. But let's just say if they did not, you still have those tools to work from. Yes. So now you don't have to wonder why they're so strong in math, because their full reasoning is this strong, and why they're struggling in reading, because their basic reading skills is a weakness. So now you know what they can and can't do.
Right, you have a launching point to go from instead of just a high amount of frustration. And unfortunately, what parents will go to is, it's the curriculum's bad. Which new curriculum should we try now? Well, that's not what the issue is. It's your child struggling in one area and good in another, and you just have to learn to accommodate them.
That's it. And that's where we come in. Those accommodations are so important. Yeah. So I just wanted to end with the services that
And then here's your contact information.
All right. And the services we provide, we do full psychoeducation evaluations, dyslexia testing. We do reevaluations for kids who are already in special education. Mm-hmm. We provide advocacy services, consultation. We do participate in our meetings. We can evaluate without participating, but if the parents would like us to, we're open for that as well as a support to them in the meeting. And also we do help with the IEPs. As I said before, we do help with those recommendations. And as a teacher for 16 years, I taught pre-K for 7 years, second, third, fourth, middle school. So I do have that experience with those those classrooms and those kiddos in those areas so we can meet those needs. So we can kind of differentiate some learning and make sure that we can meet those needs in those individual educational plans.
Yeah.
So it's important to have that background, because that's the biggest implication that we find is once they finish the evaluation and everything has been done, now we got to implement all of these results, and we have to make sure that it's meeting that child's needs so they can be successful.
Right. Yeah. And that's what's really helpful as a homeschool parent, is that oftentimes they can be so frustrated. They just don't know where their child's struggling, and they can blame it on themselves. I'm just a bad teacher, or it's a bad curriculum. And yet it's usually some type of struggle your child is having, and working with the diagnostician, I just want to point that out, is so helpful. It'll kind of be a freeing experience.
Yes. Yes. We're a team.
Yeah.
We're here for support.
Exactly.
We're here for support. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's our role.
Right.
So my contact information, you can reach me at info@topassessmenttx.com. Yep. That's info@topassessmenttx.com or www.topassessmenttx.com. Mm-hmm. And my business office number is 409-655-1671. And if you have any other questions that you want to ask, I have an information form on my website. It's very brief. You can put a message, you can message me in the box, and it'll go directly to my email. And I can give you further information outside of this broadcast to support you and help you in any way.
Great. Yeah. And Tasha is located in the southern part of Houston, Texas. So if you're wondering where she's located, that's helpful as well. So, because like we talked about, it's good to do this in person. So,
yes. And we do go out to your location. So I'm awesome. Accessible to me. I have my office out here, but I am remote and mobile, where I can go out and meet you, assist you in any way as well.
Yeah. And another thing to point out too is, and I think I told a parent this when we were at a get together last week, is she didn't realize that the IDEA funds. So 10% of those are allocated to private and homeschooled students. So like Tasha said, an ARD is a Texas term for getting your child reviewed and assessed for services. But you can ask for that in most school districts around the United States. And so so working with a diagnostician that knows, it doesn't mean that your school district will always give you the services they give students that are enrolled, but some school districts give a whole lot. So it's sometimes worth asking.
Right, definitely is. It's definitely worth asking.
Because they have therapists and other people that are you can use.
Right. I agree.
Yeah.
I agree very much so.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Tasha. This has been a very informative and just packed full of so much good information. You definitely brought it tonight. And so we may have covered all the tips and hints you need for the month just in this 1 hour. But thank you so much for your willingness just to share with us and for what you do. It's such a help for parents, because I know when we homeschool, we walk away from a lot of services, and to be able to have an independent consultant that works like you do to be able to work with a part of our team is a great asset, definitely. So definitely check out Tasha's resources, and I'm going to post them below the feed for this video, as well as on our YouTube channel, all the shorts and the full length video on there as well, so that you can find them and just click on them, because that makes it a lot easier. And we also thank Bookshark for sponsoring this episode. They have been a great support for us, and so definitely check out their resources as well. But next week, we are going to talk with Tyler Hogan from Bright Ideas Press about beyond testing, alternative assessment methods. So just other things you can use in your homeschool for daily assessments and weekly assessments and those types of things to just see if your child's progressing. That's a very good thing too. So that's our topic next week. But definitely. So just keep the conversation going, everybody. You can check us out at spedhomeschool.com and or check out our jump groups. We have regional groups all throughout the United States and some in international countries. So definitely check those out and connect with your local tribes. So thanks again, Tasha. We live in the same city. So we've been talking remotely, but we're very close.
Yes, that's a good
thing. So definitely. But have a good night, everyone. And we'll see you again next week on
Spiritual Thank You
Conversations. You are welcome. All right.